to My Journey of Faith Radio with your host, Vicki Petz Henderson, physician, writer, speaker, encourager, and lover of God's Word. My Journey of Faith is a place to inspire, equip, and encourage women in their personal walks with Christ. Here's your host, Vicki Petz Henderson.
Welcome to My Journey of Faith Radio. This is your host, Vicki Henderson, and I'm so excited to introduce you to my guest, Leah Hefner. Welcome, Leah.
Hi, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I knew we were going to get along well when I looked at your website, and it's called Life Around the Coffee Cup.
Yeah, actually, I've sadly had to give up coffee for this current pregnancy, and it's not even the caffeine. It's just the experience of like having a warm cup of something every day. And I'm like, I miss it. And tea is not the same. And it makes me sad.
What about decaf?
Well, yes, I could drink decaf. I don't like how they make it decaf. So I'm like, I drink it when I really am desperate. I'll be like, somebody bring me some decaf, please. I just need a cup of coffee to hold in my hand, please.
Oh, that's great. Well, I can't tell by talking to you that you're off caffeine. So you have a lot of energy. So Leah's joined us from Knoxville, Tennessee, and she blogs on marriage, motherhood, and faith. And so if you would just tell our listeners how you got started talking about marriage.
Okay, so I was a newlywed in 2010, and my husband and I was a French teacher, so I kind of had to take a job wherever I could get one. So I took a job about 5 hours away from our families, from where we lived, and so our friends were all graduating, everyone was moving away, and so we got married and started our life, and then, the dishes started stacking up, like, some days literally to the ceiling, and we just would, like, stare at the pile until one of us would, like, give up and wash the dishes, and I'm like, I just want to know if this is normal. Is this normal? Are we supposed to be, like, I thought it would be cute, you know, after dinner we wash dishes together or whatever, and then all the big things and the little things, like figuring out the jobs and the finances and paying off our student loan debt, and I was like, okay, I got to learn something. I don't have anyone right here to tell me how to walk through this, so I started diving into marriage resources. And just really taking to heart when I would be like, hey, sweetie, I read this thing. What do you think about this? He'd be like, oh, that really speaks to me. And I'd be like, yes. Okay. I find another book on that subject, then let's keep diving. And then it was, I processed with words most of the time. And so, since I didn't have a lot of friends around to process what I was learning, I started writing about it because I thought, you know what, I cannot be the only one at this part of our marriage that is like, okay, is this right? Is this normal? And then how do I prevent some of these things? Like, you know, sometimes you read a marriage book and it's like, so-and-so's been married for so-and-so many years and they've always had the same problem. And I'm like, okay, but if we just could skip that part, like, that would be so great. Let's fast forward through that, like, problem that we had for 17 years. Like, okay. And, so I just, working on that and then, wondering about that, I just started coming out in words as, like, marriage encouragement, because I felt like, you know what, we could all use a little encouragement in our marriages. And, started coming out as that, and then about 9 months later, we found out we were pregnant, and so then, I don't know, I cannot, like, separate, like, my mom apron and my wife apron, they're just, like, two separate colors or whatever, and, so it just kind of runs together, but I think it's important, like, while we're doing this little kid part, we have three kids, 5 and under, and 1 on the way.
Oh, wow.
So we're in the thick of not sleeping, and, you know, about 2 years ago, we paid off our student loan debt and stuff like that. So, like, we're in the thick of this. How do we do that well, run business as well in our case, and then be do our marriage well? Because I don't want to, in 20 years, be like, well, this problem we had for 17 years that we never talked about because whatever.
Yeah.
So, it always stemmed from that. So, that's kind of how I got started a long time ago. And it's kind of grown and changed and shaped and how I've done it and whatever. But here I am.
Well, I love that you were intentional early on, because you've only been married for 6 years, and that's relatively not that long, but I love how intentional you've been, and I've always been that way, too. I'm like you. If I need a resource, I'm going to find one.
Yep.
Some of my favorite books on marriage have been Love and Respect and The Languages of Love and Respect, 5 Love Languages, and Love and War by John Eldridge. Have you read that one?
I have not read Love and War by John Eldridge. I'm actually going to write that down right now.
Well, it's very much what you're describing, is that this is hard. And if you're walking around pretending it's not, then you're lying to people. And you just need to be real and say, this is hard.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And
And I know when I got really sick, my husband looked at me one day and he said, there's no playbook for this. But, you know, there really is a playbook for this. And if you go to the Word of God, it tells us that we are to respect our husbands and they are to love their wives like Christ loved the church. And so I think there definitely is a playbook. But so many times, and kudos to you for doing this with a house full of kids, because it's so easy to get sucked into that. Well, they need my attention. They need my attention. They need my attention.
Well, and so, I mean, as all marriages do, we went through a really tough season a couple years ago. And it wasn't just our marriage. Like, everything was in a tough season. We had a colicky baby. He didn't sleep ever, so I didn't sleep ever. My husband worked two jobs because we were almost at the end of paying off our student loan debt. And so we were, like, in the full push to get it done. And then, of course, because of all of these things, or with all of these things, whatever, our marriage was taking a hit. And I can remember sitting at our kitchen table with our kids, and one of them would do something, and I would, like, everything in me would want to be, like, I can focus all of my love and all of my attention on this baby who's so cute, on this kid who's so cute, who's just going to return it, and just return it, and just return it, or this small, tiny amount of energy that I can have. I can make myself turn over here, and it was, like, a physical, like, turn myself full face with my husband and be, like, okay, tell me about your day. I want to hear about it. I really care about it. And so much of it came from because being intentional early on had given me this skill set that I wouldn't have had otherwise. And this knowledge where, like, when I was just beaten down and drowning, that I wouldn't have had the toolbox to go to. And mine was a big one for us. Was I read Love and Respect first, and my husband said, you know, I've heard probably 100 sermons from 100 pulpits about how much husbands need to love their wives. He's like, but I don't know if I've ever heard anyone talk about how wives need to respect their husbands. And I was like, done, on it, listening to you. And I was like, books on respect, let me read them, let me gobble them up, and let me see how this works and how this looks. And I think some people get really scared about, like, the respect and submission, like, what does that mean? Does that mean that I don't get an opinion, I don't get a voice? And it's a whole dance of how that plays out in your marriage with the two of you and with God and how you guys are created and brought together as one and what that looks like. So it's just like, it's not a one size fits all thing. And for us, it's been amazing. Married almost 7 years. My husband has always owned his own business. I have always wanted to help in his business. And during that really hard season, he finally was like, yes, you can help me do this thing, which was not my skill set at all. And I was like, okay, sure. And it was like chafing. I couldn't do it right. I couldn't do it right. And then obviously he would tell me I couldn't do it right. And I could still call this thing on to where, like, it just really was making it worse. I mean, it was just pulling. So now here we are, like 4 years later, and like we work together all day long. He's here all day. I'm here all day. We do all this stuff together, and I was like, seriously, 7 years ago, if you would have told me that we would have been home together all day, every day, I would have been like, really?
No thanks.
Why can't one of us go to work somewhere else? But, like, it's so great because of all the dance that we've learned to do together, that is us.
And I think respect looks different to men than women think it does. When I first started researching that, it was life-changing to me because for me, I thought respect was one thing, and then I realized men interpret that totally different.
Well, and I think that was for me, too. It's like, I never even, like, I would have never have been intentionally disrespectful to my husband, and then when I realized that, like, these things are disrespectful to your husband, I was like, but I'm doing it all the time.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize, and so, like, just changing that, and then people, of course, this is probably my biggest beef with Love and Respect is it makes it sound like it's like a magic, like this will, woo! And it's not, like, it's habits that have to be relearned, and you have to learn to trust the new habits, and it's this whole, I mean, it's ripping up the bricks and laying them back down correctly with a better, you know, with better foundation, and so it's not an easy thing, but it's a really important thing.
I love that, taking up the bricks and laying down a new foundation, and it takes two.
It does. Oh my goodness, because I have never personally laid a brick patio, but I've watched other people do it, and it looks hard. And I probably want a buddy out there doing it with you.
That's right. So you have a course that you offer on marriage, right?
I do. So So during this really crazy time in our lives, like, no, we had two emergency surgeries. I had emergency surgery. I got pregnant right away. I had all kinds of problems during my pregnancy. We thought we lost the baby more than once. We had him. Like, I thought I was, like, the mom who knew all the things. And then, like, I brought this baby home who never stopped crying ever.
Yeah, we
and,
all think like, that before we have them.
Oh, no, my first one, like, didn't cry.
So, oh, okay.
Like, oh, I know how to do this. And the second one came home, and I was like, no, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And then my husband got really sick. He's got a chronic illness. And then our son was 6 weeks old. I'm sorry. My husband was hospitalized for 2 weeks. And then he had a job, you know, just all these things started piling up. And I decided, because I'm a blogger, that I was like, oh, for November, when everyone's doing their, like, 30 days of thankful thing on Facebook, I'm going to do 30 days of being thankful for my husband. And it was really, really great because I didn't choose 30 things that were easy. I chose 30 things that were biblical. And, again, totally not of my own power. That was totally, like, the Holy Spirit convicting because, like, I was not in a place where, like, I was sleeping enough to make, like, mature, rational decisions all the time. And so, like, I would get to these days, and it would be like, I'm thankful for my husband's job. And I was like, I am not thankful for his job. I hate when he travels, and I hate that he works 90 hours a week. And I, you know, that's just the list. And then I was like, okay, but how many people's husbands aren't even working, but just can't even find a job? Okay, I can be thankful for this. I can be thankful for this, too. And just being thankful for things. And then, of course, you know, because we live life, like, we'd have, like, a squabble or something, and then, like, the next day would be, like, the topic that we squabbled about, you know, whatever. And I'd be like, oh, no, I have to be thankful for this. And I'm like, oh, why did I do this to myself? I could have just picked 30 ways that he was awesome. Like, I'm so thankful he has a great beard, and I'm so thankful that he likes to go outside. You know, I could have picked easy things, but I didn't pick easy things. I picked biblical things. And so
that's sacrifice of praise that the Bible talks about. You offer it as a sacrifice of praise.
And I was like, you know, as the more I thought about it, as I was like, you know, I would love it if all 30 of these things were true perfectly in this moment. But the reality is that we're all this, like, moving and evolving target. And I tell this to my husband all the time, like, I'm so sorry. I'm not even close to the girl that you married 7 years ago. And I'm sorry for that because, like, you did not know what you were getting yourself into. Like, there was no way of knowing. And he was like, I know, but look how great it is. It's so wonderful. And I'm like, okay, great. So, but, like, being able to, like, look down that list and you know, see, like, how he had grown and how he was loving to me and how he had showed good character at work. I mean, he was in a really tough work situation, and over again, he just showed this amazing character when the situation would get terrible over and over again, and all these things, and I could be like, okay, and then also to say, I'm going to be married to you. We joke that we're going to be married for 80 years, Lord willing, so we'll be 103 when we die is kind of the plan here. So the next 80 years, I'm going to continue to see how he loves me grow and how his character is going to grow and how his reliability and how his friendships, and so praying that, like, being thankful for what hasn't happened yet, but that it, by God's grace, it will happen. It will continue to grow. It will. And so, after doing that, you know, on my blog, you ask, I mean, if you're a blogger, you ask your readers, like, tell me something that you're struggling with. I want to know, I want to help you if I can. And so many of them were like, you know, I really struggle with how to make my marriage a priority with little kids in the house. And I was like, dude, me too. But here's the thing that I did. And I took 5 minutes a day to be thankful for my husband. And so that's the course. It's I cut it down to 28 days because I know me. I know that if something's 31 days and I get to, like, day 30 and I'm a couple days behind, I'm going to feel like I failed. So I was like, I'm going to cut a couple days off this thing to give you, like, the grace to get it in a month because life's crazy.
I love that.
I mean, get it in a year, 6 years. I don't care. But, sure. Like, here's the thing. Yeah, so you don't feel – if you have, like, a person that's similar to mine, you don't feel like you're failing because you didn't get it in days 1 to 28 yes. When you sign it. So it's like a short little – it's a Bible verse. So it's the biblical principle, the biblical characteristics of a husband. It's a short little thing about do you see this in your husband? Maybe it's not – like you said, respect looks to a man differently than we think it does. So maybe this trait looks differently in your husband than you think it looks. My husband, like, is a shoulder-to-shoulder time lover. He loves going on hikes. And I would be, like, on these hikes with him, and I'd be like, so I wanted to talk to you about this thing that came in the mail. And he's like, can we talk about our real life some other time? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, we get a half an hour together. And he's just like, and he's 6'6", so he, like, walks, like, 100 times faster than I do anyways, and I'm, like, huffing it, trying to keep up. And it took me 5 years to realize he did not want to go on a hike with me to have a conversation. He wanted to go on a hike with me to have an experience that we shared. Now, he has also figured out that I actually want to go on the hike to have a conversation. So, if we could do both. And so, like, we went paddleboarding, not last summer, but the last summer I was pregnant. So, 2 years ago, I was super pregnant. And so, of course, I can't paddleboard because I have no center of gravity and I was going to fall off. So, he just rode out with me into the middle of the lake and we sat and talked on the paddleboard for, like, an hour. And then I was like, honey, this is, like, your gift, though. Like, what do you want to do? And he's like, I want to go explore that whole shoreline over there. I was like, have at it. I'll meet you in an hour if you're done. And he was, but just us being, we were probably a mile apart from each other on the water, but just us being on the water together and like learning this new skill together was so important to him. So like taking those characteristics and saying, okay, so maybe I think this thing should look like this, but in my husband, it looks like this. And that's not a bad thing. It's just different than what I expected. So
yeah.
Being thankful for that. And then it's got like a prayer prompt to like pray for it. Pray for it to grow. And then I have like included I call it take it up a notch activities. We're like, hey, if you want this to like really sink in, go try this thing that maybe you wouldn't do otherwise.
That sounds really cool.
Maybe go tell him to his face thank you for getting up in the middle of the night last night. And which is something that like I never would have done because I get up in the middle of the night all the time. But like it's a powerful thing to say thank you to someone for something that you would do or that they would do regardless.
Well, I love that you chose the difficult things to be thankful for. And I think so many times wives and even friends or with your parents or your children or whatever, we tend to keep a record of wrongs. And 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what love is, and it says don't keep a record of wrongs. And I know when I was going through a difficult season in my life, one of the things I did was I literally kept a record of rights. And so I had a little notebook, and any time there was anything right, I wrote it down.
Yeah.
And that was really helpful to me to get my focus somewhere else. Because, you know, the Bible tells us we are to give thanks in all things.
In all things. And that means that there's something to be thankful for in all things.
That's right.
And so, yeah, and that's where I saw that being true when we were in a really hard season and then doing it. And I was like, okay, this – and then the Bible says it, so it has to be true. So let's apply it to our marriages and let's see what happens.
That's right, because that's a playbook, and it is true. And if we do apply the Word of God, it – has the power to heal, divide joint and marrow and soul, and it heals. But I also love that you mentioned grace, because I am exactly like you described. If I didn't get to the end and it wasn't all, I mean, I'm like that OCD perfectionist. And so one of the things you said before we started the interview that I liked, and this goes to motherhood, is you said one day in the grocery store does not define you as a mother. And that's grace. That's the application of grace. And I love that. We have to give ourselves grace.
Yeah, and I think giving ourselves grace is maybe sometimes the hardest thing. I think, you know, say we see that mom in the grocery store with her kid throwing a fit, we can feel sympathy for her, we can feel empathy for her. Sometimes we judge her because we happen to be having a good day, but the reality is when you are her, all you can think about is all the things that you did that day that led up to why this is a failure. Oh, we shouldn't have had the sugar cereal for breakfast. We should have eaten eggs so that it was, you know, longer standing. You know what? I should have brought 3 snacks instead of 2. I did run an extra errand. This is all my fault. All the things wrong. And you know what? Sure, maybe you did. I forget snacks for my kids on the regular. But my kids are also, like, I have a 5-year-old. She can choose how to behave in a situation. My 3-year-old can choose how to behave in a situation. And if they choose to behave like a maniac, then, okay, that's not all on me. And it does not define my motherhoodness.
Well, and especially that one moment. But it never does. We're not responsible for other people's behavior.
No, we're not. But as moms, I think we feel like we are.
We are. And we are. And we have such a huge, huge responsibility.
Yeah.
And I think
I told my husband, like, we don't know for 20 years or more how the decisions we're making right now are going to impact them. And then we can't go back and undo any of them. Like, I'm like, that's awesome. At least if there was like a test at the end of the week, I would know if I need to make an adjustment.
Like a little progress report. Okay, yeah, we're going in the wrong direction here. Yeah, and you can raise 10 kids in the exact same home, and they can turn out 10 different ways too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You see that all the time.
Because the reality is, like, you don't raise 10 kids in the exact same home. Like, because you grow and change, and each of their personalities grow and change. And as you get older, there's things that become more or less important to you. So, I mean, I'm in the middle of three. My brother and I are 6 years apart. My sister and I are 2 years apart. My mom, like, we've said that, like, we weren't raised in the same home because our life experiences were different. Our parents were different. Our parents were different ages. They were going through different things. And so our four walls may have been the same, but none of us are, like, stagnant and not growing. We're all changing.
That's true. And you parent, you know, I think of that verse in Proverbs that says you train up a child in the way they go. And someone, I heard a sermon one time that means whatever their bent is. And it's like a bamboo tree. You know, you can get them to go straight, or you can get them to go in a little spiral or whatever. And it kind of depends on that child's nature. And I had the same experience as you. I had this easy child that we would lay down in the crib and she'd pull the little covers up to her nose and smile at you and go to sleep. And we patted ourselves on the back and said, look what great parents we are. And then we had this kid that we had to take everything and put it up on the mantle because he was like, you know, the Tasmanian devil. And they both turned out to be absolutely fabulous adults. And I am so grateful for that. But you're right. We were not the same parents to our second child that we were the first.
Well, and we've said this about our son specifically. I say, like, man, he, you know, we've had such a tough time with him. And my husband looked at me one day and he goes, but, like, he goes, that's two-sided. He goes, do you think he got the best from us because of everything that we, I mean, not that we chose as adults to allow to be going on around us? Do you think he got the best from us? And I was like, oh, like, because all this time I had thought, oh, he was just a tough baby and all of these, like, life things that had happened. And then all of a sudden I was like, I wasn't, like, you know, I was, all this other stuff was influencing my parenting, and I was like, oh, my goodness, and it just completely sunk down on me. And now, can I tell you, my third baby does not sleep either. She does not sleep, but she's got a more cheerful demeanor than he had, but I don't get any more sleep, and if that's the sole factor, like, I respond to it very differently now than I did then, for sure.
That's an interesting perspective. I never really have thought about that. My son was very colicky, and I was a resident. And I had preterm labor, so I had to go on bed rest, and I missed part of my residency. And so I only got a four-week maternity leave. So he was this fussy, cry, unconsolable baby. My husband was sort of Mr. Mom for those 2 years, and I was gone all the time. And so you're right. He didn't get the best of me either.
I was like, my husband said it to me. I was like, I've noticed, I mean, he's three, I've noticed that there's times, like, when our relationship is more difficult, because, like, I just kind of revert back to, like, oh, your tough personality, da da da, and I'm like, okay, but is he getting the best of me? And so, like, I'll be like, he does this really cute thing right now where he pretends to fall asleep, like, all the time, and because he likes to see how far he can take it, like, can his whole body flop back onto the couch, and he's so hilarious. So, I use that, though, as the opportunity to, like, tell him things that are, like, true about him that he wouldn't hold still for me to tell him otherwise. So he pretends to be asleep, and I'm like, hey, buddy, I love being your mom. You are my favorite little boy in the whole world. I think you're brave and cool, and you take good care of your sisters. And, like, I know he hears me. He doesn't say anything because he's pretending to be asleep, but, like, he's getting the best of me in that moment because I'm aware that it's not him. It's not his personality that doesn't. There's nothing that he, it's a cycle. It's back and forth. Yes, he has choices, but so do I. And I can give him my best no matter what.
I like that. That's a very intentional way, too, to fill him up with truth. And you're doing that as his mom. And that's what God does to us as our father. He fills us up with truth when we're still and when we're quiet, so that when we're running around crazy, we can go, I remember I heard him say, I love you. You're brave. You're strong. I'm going to do great things through you. That is just a perfect picture of how God parents us.
Yeah. And last week we were going somewhere and I was like, guys, I do not, the words came out of my mouth. I said, guys, I do not know how many times I have to tell you. And then, like, my tongue got, like, tied up. And in my head, all I could hear was, and how many times do I have to tell you? And I was like, okay, guys, get in the car. We're
going to
go
someplace. Yeah. Parenting is definitely a mirror because they say things that you say in ways that you say them and you go, where did they get that? And then you go, oh, I know where they got it.
I know where they got that one. I mean, I'm with my kids. I mean, we homeschool too. So, like, we're with our kids, and then we're both here. We're with our kids all the time. So my 5-year-old is like, I mean, she's pretty much a mini me, and she'll say these things, and I'll be like, I can't even handle it. My son said to me yesterday that he wanted to go do something for funsies, and I was like, oh my gosh, she spent too much time with me. Like, I just, even 3 years old, you're using the word funsies. Like, that's so fantastic.
Well, let me give you my parenting perspective, because my kids are totally grown, and I'll tell you the best thing about parenting. I always heard these moms that were sad as their kids got older. Oh, I'm so sad. My baby's growing up too fast. My baby's growing up too fast. And I know that's a common sentiment among parents. But I will tell you, I have enjoyed every stage of my kids' life more than I did the one before. And they're 27 and 23 now, and I don't know what I would do without them. They are my rocks. They are my best friends. My son's been home for college break, and we just laid on the couch and hung out together. Normally, I'm, like, trying to encourage him to be more productive because I'm, you know, like, Miss Productivity, and he's like, let's just chill out. So this time, I let him teach me how to just chillax. He says he's the king of chillax.
Chillax. Oh, what a good son. That's so great.
We have a great relationship, and so all of those moments where, and I've screamed at him in the car, and I've done all of those things, and made every mistake there is, and they didn't always get the best of me, but you know what? It's messy, and it's wonderful.
It's messy, and it's wonderful, and I guess that's, for me, is where the grace needs to come in, is, like, it is messy. Like, we are a mess just by nature. We're a mess. Our sin makes us a mess, and so God doesn't leave us in our mess. His righteousness covers our mess, but we're still, I mean, we still sin. Like, it's just true. And so we still have this mess. And so we can, it's our mess. God will change our mess. He will fix it. It will, but it takes our whole life, because we're not perfect until glory. But our mess is where we can minister out of to other people. So, like, mm-hmm. I find, like, my mess, you know, with these crazy kids, I call them my toddler tornado. So my toddler tornado with this mess that literally follows me everywhere I go. That's where I can minister out of. I can see there's a mom in the cry room at church who, like, hasn't slept in, like, 8 months, and, like, no one has said anything to her because she's just a quiet girl. But, like, I looked at her and I was like, hey, you're doing a good job. And she, like, turned and looked at me and she was like, what? And I just recognized the face of someone who, like, was just aching from not sleep and wondering, what did I do? What am I actively doing wrong with this baby?
Why can't I comfort my own baby?
Why can't I comfort my own baby? Because I live in that world of, why is my baby still crying?
Uh-huh.
And, but, like, you can minister out of your mess. And your mess, though, is part of what sanctifies you and makes you, your mess less messy. Your mess kind of makes you less messy.
Yes, absolutely. And the scripture I quote more than any other on this particular show is out of 1 Corinthians. It says that we suffer so we can minister to those who are suffering. We give the comfort that God gives to us. And so I love that we turn our mess into ministry. And as writers and speakers, we definitely do that. And I always say that's, it's kind of like standing naked in front of everybody. You just go, okay, here's what's going on with me, and here's how God redeems it. So.
And I don't know about for you, but I'm always like, I would prefer if a bunch of people that I didn't know read my stuff.
Yes.
Because, like, standing soul naked in front of a bunch of people that you know and are going to see you, like, later this week and be like, hey, you want to talk about that thing you wrote? No, I don't.
Yeah, it's awkward. It's awkward sometimes. And I'm at the point right now, the season of my life that I'm going through, you know, and I always try to not share too much and share enough. And so my son is the one that'll call me out. He's like, no, Mom, you can't write that. So he kind of edits for me because he's real gut level honest with me.
Oh, okay.
And it's really cool. So
yeah, that's very cool.
That's something else to look forward to.
You have one of those around. That's
yeah,
nice.
It's awesome. Well, anything else you want to share with us before we close about what's going on your website or what you're up to?
Well, the course is available anytime I blog. It's called the Making Marriage Matter course. I think it's so important for all of us to work on our marriage. It actually kicks off with a 10 days of prayer email. Serious. So you can sign up for that right on the homepage.
And where do we sign up for that?
LeahHeffner.com. So LeahHeffner. .com. There's a 10 days of prayer sign up, and it's 10 days of being thankful in your marriage, and it rolls right into, you can get the course at the end of that if you want to. I mean, obviously no obligation on that one. If you're looking for something like that, but the prayers are all, I love that you said 1 Corinthians 13, because the prayers are all from 1 Corinthians 13. So show me how, let me see how my husband's kind. Let me be thankful for that. Let me see how I need to be kinder and things like that. And then the other big thing that's going on is we actually just opened a little store on our blog. So we have really cool mugs. We're getting more this week that are so cute. They're going to say, like, blessed wife and blessed mom and blessed dad and blessed husband. And there's prints that are really encouraging. We say, like, the Aaronic blessing over our kids at bedtime. So we, one of the prints is the Aaronic blessing and different things like that. So those are probably the coolest things, but my favorite part is still I write a blog post once a week, and I get to take my mess and just minister out of my mess. So that's my favorite part still, and that's on there every week. So you can sign up to get the blog post via email.
Okay, so that's leahhefner.com, and I will definitely put those links on this podcast. And thank you so much for being with me today.
Vicki, thanks for having me. It was fun.
All right, take care.